Broadcast out of New York City, you're listening to Prescriptions for Health on the Progressive Radio Network on Monday, July 1st, 2013. I'm Dr. Len Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicki Saputo. Thank you for joining us on Prescriptions for Health on the Progressive Radio Network on the first and third Monday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time and from 7 to 8 a.m. Pacific Time. And remember that our shows are available 24-7 on PRN.FM and drsaputo.com.
Today you will hear Nurse Vicki's 2020 health tips at 20 after and 20 to the hour. And we have another great show for you today that's a special edition that's devoted to lifestyle medicine. And it will include, what does it take to be happy, healthy, and feel good?
And are you really what you eat?
What improves the quality of life and longevity when it produces free radicals?
Why is it important to manage stress naturally?
And what lifestyle factor is the most predictive of all-cause mortality?
This might surprise you. And how can being overweight cause a biochemical disaster?
And why is it critical to our health to clean up the environment?
And why is having a meaningful purpose in life important for good health?
Boy, there's a little content for one day. We're going to get through all this today, so it's a nice capsule of what you need to know about lifestyle. And if you want to go back to it, you can get it on either prn.fm or drsaputo.com.
Most diseases can be prevented, arrested, and some even reversed by living a healthy lifestyle. So what's the definition of a healthy lifestyle? Well, eating a healthy diet, exercising, maintaining a normal weight, getting enough sleep, stress reduction, getting moderate sun exposure, avoiding toxins, and have a meaningful purpose in life. This is how we can take charge of the quality of our life.
That's really right. You know, we have a system today in healthcare where we wait till we get sick. We screw all these things up. Then we come back and say, what did we do wrong? We run to our doctor who doesn't really know the first thing about lifestyle medicine. And we're into what I call disease care as a model for our healthcare system. Meaning that what we do is we wait till we get sick and then we expect our doctor to give us something that's going to somehow magically make us well again. Probably a pill or some technology.
Yeah, you know, when we're small children, we don't have control. But as we grow up, it's important to take responsibility for our health. And we need to learn a lot of things. And one of them is to read ingredients in products we eat and apply to our skin because we can't trust labels. And a healthy lifestyle, we need to be aware, is a very powerful thing because it increases our immunity and it can even reverse our genetics so that we aren't doomed for disease.
Well, see, we have a real issue here about how do we get our kids to learn this stuff? We don't know it ourselves. It's not really taught in schools. So where's it going to come from?
DrSaputo.com.
Yeah, well, that's one place for sure. Or the Progressive Radio Network. That's right. Because we need to have this kind of education or we're never going to change the paradigm. The model of healthcare needs to be shifted from disease care to healthcare.
Well, on DrSaputo.com, I mean, no joking here. We do take each area of living a healthy lifestyle and we discuss it in detail because healthcare is different from disease care, like you were saying earlier.
Right.
And healthcare is about wellness and prevention.
Right. Now, you were talking about how we can reverse our genetics and how we have issues that have to do with being sick in the environment that we live. And, you know, we were so confident that it was DNA that did everything. But as we've learned from Bruce Lipton's work in epigenetics, which means that our genes are changeable, that the genes that we have in our body that are DNA controlled, or that are made up of DNA, aren't fixed. They can be turned on and off by environmental trigger factors that can either make something a problem or not.
And isn't this wonderful to be aware of?
Absolutely, because that means you can change things.
You can take care of yourself. A lot of people think they're just doomed, you know.
Your genes in some situations will doom you for very serious genetic defects. You may not even make it, you know, to be born. And if you have some kinds of things like sickle cell anemia, it's a big deal because you can't do a lot with lifestyle to change that. But for most of the things that cause this epidemic of chronic diseases, including cancers, and heart attacks and strokes, you can do a lot about changing how the genes in your body will express themselves by what you do with your lifestyle.
I also like that Chinese proverb that's one of your favorites about before age 30 you cheat disease, but after age 30 disease cheats you.
Well, so right. I mean, when we've got the flexibility of youth, we can adapt because we have a wellness buffer that's bigger than what we have is when we get older, because we've been exposed to a lot of situations and we have a lot of lifestyle habits that are not healthy for us. And so when we use up our reserves, we come closer to where we're going to have a problem with getting sick. And then everything falls apart.
Yeah, once you've exceeded your wellness buffer, it might be too late. So maybe you should explain what a wellness buffer is so we don't go over the safety line from health to disease.
Right. Okay, we got perfect health on one end of a spectrum. We got death on the other end of the spectrum. And in between, we have a place where we start to have symptoms. So we're in perfect health. We're in that place where we have no symptoms and our health is exactly like it should be.
Of course, just because you don't have symptoms doesn't mean you're well either.
That's the point of the buffer. See, you can be well and you will not have symptoms until you lose a certain amount of function, which might be 30 or 40% of an organ system before it actually you have a symptom from it. Like you're going to have angina from a problem with a coronary artery disease. I mean, you're going to have plaques that are building for 20, 30 years, a lot of the time, or more than that, where they're gradually getting worse, but you have no symptoms.
Which is why sometimes people can go to the doctor and they get an EKG and a physical and everything looks good, and they walk out the door and fall down dead.
Well, see, now when they were in the doctor's office, they were fine. And they hadn't gotten that place where they had symptoms. But maybe something that happened there, or maybe just it's coincidental that they were going to have a problem and it happened right at that time. Boom, all of a sudden you've got a problem. So the wellness buffer is that reserve area that in wellness and prevention models we move towards. We want to move from the place where we have symptoms or about to have symptoms all the way back to where we have perfect health and perfect functionability. And because of epigenetics, because of lifestyle factors, we can do a lot about reversing that and taking it back to that place.
One of the ways that people get sick is with inflammation, and all the lifestyle factors are important in controlling inflammation. So I want people to keep that in mind as we go on here. You know, there's time for medicine and technology, and we're going to talk about the healthiest order of things. Because, you know, medicine and technology can save your life, but it can also kill you. So,
well, yeah. I mean, some of the tests that we do are not safe, and they do kill people. And some of the treatments that we use, particularly medications, we pay a heavy toll for because there are about 400,000 deaths every year from medications. I mean, that's an astonishing number. And we think somehow that that's okay because we keep doing it year after year, over 10 years. I mean, that number is huge. It's 4 million people. I mean, that's stunning information.
Well, this is why we need to arm ourselves with the strongest immunity that we can, because our quality of life is important. And one day we all have our turn leaving this planet. But while we're here, we should enjoy it and make the most of it. And, you know, the saying about use it or lose it. Well, we need to exercise and eat healthy and get enough sleep and learn how to reduce our stress levels and, you know, have fun in the sun, maintain normal weight, be sure to have a meaningful purpose in life, all the things that we talked about at the beginning of this segment.
Well, this is the essence of wellness and prevention paradigms. And it's where we should focus our attention as the first approach always to every disease we possibly can. Say, for example, acute life-threatening situations where you're in congestive heart failure or you're in diabetic ketoacidosis or you've had a fracture or a subdural hematoma, all these things need to be dealt with by aggressive forms of therapy. But we always start with lifestyle medicine. And if that doesn't work, then we start looking for other approaches, an approach maybe where we start using non-invasive therapies, chiropractic or Chinese medicine or Ayurveda or Native American medicine or whatever have you that's non-invasive. If that doesn't work, then we should be looking to how we're going to invade at a biochemical level what's happening in our cells and do safer things like using herbs and supplements and different kinds of nutritional products that are not likely to cause any problems. You know, there are 400,000 deaths from medicine. There may be 50 deaths every year from doing this approach with herbs and supplements. And then if that doesn't work, we get more aggressive. We can go ahead and use the drugs and the surgical technologies. So there's an order that we should follow here that's safe.
And of course, there are accidents and disasters that might be out of our control. But if we're in the present moment and we're not distracted with the unhealthy lifestyle factors, you know, like our stress and lack of sleep and energy from not enough exercise or eating the improper foods, or you know, we up our chances of avoiding these accidents. And we, you know, by improving our reflexes and our reaction time and thinking faster, and we can possibly save our lives that way without Right. having to have the accident in the first place. So anyway, if you'd like to get help getting started, listen in on the Fast Tracks from drsaputo.com.
Sounds good.
So one of the other lifestyle factors that we want to talk about is
what you eat.
What we eat. You know, we all want to feel good and be healthy and have lots of energy, and diet's an important contributing lifestyle factor. So mm-hmm. we need to fuel our bodies with the proper nutrients so that they work efficiently for us, preventing disease and promoting wellness. Now, a healthy and balanced diet can increase our immunity, and it can give us energy to do the things that we enjoy while we're feeling good.
Right. If you don't eat it, it doesn't get into your body. We have at least 55 nutrients that we know we have to have, and if we didn't have any of, we would be dead. And there are probably many, many others that have a lot to do with that we know nothing about that have to do with staying well and moving towards that wellness buffer place where there's perfect function. So what we eat is vital and determines whether or not we're going to be able to have the products that we need in our body to build the products that we need, like hormones and enzymes and cell walls and bones and all the brains and all the things that are in our body. If you don't put it in there, it's not going to be there. And
well,
if it's not like there, it ain't going to happen.
Just like a car.
Exactly.
You can't put water in the gas tank.
Well, that's true.
You have to put the right.
Well, what happens? You're missing just one thing you need to make a car, like a piston or a wire that goes someplace, or, you know, or a steering wheel. You're not going to be able to do what you want. So the important thing in nutritional medicine is to be aware that we have a massive amount of nutritional deficiency. We had several studies done by the USDA on tens of thousands of people that showed massive deficiencies in nutrients and minerals and all kinds of things that our body needs. And they keep coming up in each one of these studies, but we're slow to learn. We don't have enough, for example, of essential fatty acids, those fats that we can't make but have to have in order to be healthy. 95% of us are short in those, and so we just don't have them.
Well, you know, fats have gotten a bad rap, so people need to realize how important it is to consume things like flaxseed oil and to use coconut oil when you're cooking, and how that's so healthy for
sure.
the brain and preventing Alzheimer's and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And fish oil or krill oil, which is krill is what the fish eat,
mm-hmm.
and organic cold expeller pressed oils like olive oil and so forth. And we don't want to eat refined or GMO foods or oils either. I mean, those we already know, and we talk about that on our site about genetically engineered foods. But something I thought was interesting just to bring up here is about pork, because we talked about that a while back. And ever since we learned about pork thickening your blood, I've quit buying it.
Well,
I used to buy organic
pork.
Well,
keep in mind now, this was just one study that was done on a few people and looking to see what the effects of pork were on blood coagulation using the live blood cell analysis. And in this study, it turned out that pork in most forms did do that. However, bacon and prosciutto and the cured forms of pork didn't do that.
That's
so
interesting.
It's an interesting thing to notice and to wonder about.
Well, also we need to, when we're buying meats and so forth, to avoid, you know, the bacteria, the pesticides, and the antibiotics. That's why we always recommend the
range-fed organic
meats, and also chickens. And we want to eat wild sockeye salmon or small fish, because those haven't been around as long to collect the toxins. We want to eat fresh organic whole fruits. Avoid the fruit juices because the whole fruit is what it's about. But with vegetables, it's a little bit different because vegetables aren't as high in sugar as fruit is. So you can just drink vegetable juice, and that's a really healthy, concentrated form of nutrition.
Well, you can't eat too many vegetables, but you can eat too much fruit. And if your body's metabolism doesn't handle sugar very well because you have you have the metabolic syndrome, or you're a pre-diabetic, or you're gaining weight. All these things, the sugars seem to be a big problem in trying to keep us healthy.
You need to remember that flour counts as sugar too. So
white flour,
but whole grains in moderation. Some whole grains are good, but
That's good. But we also got to keep in mind that there's gluten in those whole grains, and probably 30-40% of the population has a gluten sensitivity. And a lot of people get a problem with osteoarthritis from something like that. So it's just interesting. And they, of course, get a lot of GI problems if they have something like celiac disease, which is just a form of sprue. So it's just interesting.
Okay, I also wanted to go on here about organic eggs. Those are a healthy food.
Very good.
And so, and to include beans and rice and potatoes, not the packaged kinds.
Right.
And it's good to have a high alkaline diet. That's with your pH, and you get that a lot from vegetables.
So it's most of them are like that. You look at lentils and garlic, and other things like that. That's true. And you look at most of the nuts. That's true. But they also can be acidifying. So you need really an acid alkaline chart that will tell you where the food is in the food group list.
Also, you want Himalayan mineral salt is a good choice. No MSG. Sometimes it's hidden behind titles like natural flavors. You want to stay away from additives and preservatives and colors and artificial flavors and pesticides and all that kind of thing.
Not easy to do today because this stuff is all over the place because we have this issue of storing food because we've got 320 million people to feed, and it's hard to get fresh, unrefined food that isn't destroyed in some way.
Also, I wanted to go back to the sugar for a second, because have you ever seen a child on a short-lived sugar high? Pretty soon they drop into fatigue, or they're cranky or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Or have you ever felt tired about 20 minutes after you've eaten sugar? And like I said earlier, white flour counts as sugar. And also, you need to stay away from artificial sweeteners. No agave. Everybody thinks that agave is this healthy thing, but it's really just like high fructose corn syrup. And stay away from high fructose corn syrup.
Maybe stay away from all kinds of sugar.
Well,
right?
Maybe if you need
too.
To sweeten something, use a little honey, especially the Manuka honey. That's a really healthy kind. A little maple syrup, a little xylitol, maybe a little molasses or some dates, something like that, or fruit. And it's tempting to eat quick, processed, refined foods, but you need to stay away from those. Avoid the refined, processed, deep-fried, or barbecued foods. All these things are really important. And be sure when you to read ingredients of things that you buy, and don't trust the labels.
Boy, that's a mouthful, and it's all good stuff.
And there's still more.
You could go on for this for a long time. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Lynn Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. It's time for Nurse Vicki's first 2020 tip on natural highs. And when we come back, we'll be talking about what improves the quality of life and longevity when it produces lots of free radicals, and why is it important to manage stress naturally.
As we grow up, we learn that even the one person that wasn't supposed to ever let you down probably will. And you will have your heart broken probably more than once, and it's harder every time. And you'll break hearts too, so remember how it felt when yours was broken.
Right on.
You'll fight with your best friend. You'll blame a new love for things an old one did. You'll cry because time's passing too fast, and you'll eventually lose somebody that you love. So take too many pictures and laugh too much and love like you've never been hurt, because every 60 seconds you spend upset is a minute of happiness you'll never get back.
That's true. That's a good point.
Don't be afraid that your life will end. Be afraid that it will never begin. I just wanted to go over a few natural highs, like falling in love and laughing so hard that your face hurts.
Oh, yeah.
And taking a nice hot shower and getting hot towels fresh out of the dryer.
Yep.
Or, you know, those little racks where you hang up a towel to have it warm when you use it.
Yeah, my mother used to make warm bread that was really home-baked and wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
That was delicious.
Finding a $20 bill in your coat from last winter.
Yeah, you're rich.
Laughing at yourself. Accidentally overhearing someone say something nice about you. Waking up and realizing you still have a few hours left to sleep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Playing with a new puppy or a kitten. Having somebody play with your hair. Making chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
Holding hands with somebody you care about. Watching the expression on somebody's face as they open a much desired present from you. And knowing that you've done the right thing no matter what other people think.
That's
I thought
cool.
of a couple other ones, too, like holding your new baby or your grandbaby first time.
Right.
So think about what your natural highs are and implement those when you're trying to reduce your stress levels.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, back to lifestyle. You know, exercise is one of the lifestyle factors that's important for our physical and our mental health, and it helps us to maintain wellness and prevent disease. And we've all heard the expression, use it or lose it.
Right on.
But exercise doesn't just burn calories. It improves our quality of life, and it's effective in anti-aging medicine.
Most powerful anti-aging approach that we have in all of medicine.
So how can exercise do all these things when it produces free radicals that cause inflammation?
Right, and that inflammation is at the heart of what causes the epidemics of chronic disease we have. Such a good point. And here's the story. Our body knows what it's doing. It realizes it when it exercises and it's producing those ATP molecules, you know, those energy that we have. Gas runs a car, but ATP runs your cells. When it's making ATP, it's making lots of free radicals, and they're going all over the place. And if we didn't have a defense mechanism against that, we'd be in big trouble. But we do. It's called the endogenous or inside-the-body mechanism that makes antioxidants. As opposed to taking antioxidants from the outside in amounts that you can never be sure of because you don't know how much your body actually needs.
So we just need to trust our bodies to do it naturally
it's
when we
perfect.
Do the lifestyle factors.
Exactly. So if we do more exercise and harder exercise and we do it for long periods of time, we're going to make loads of free radicals, but our body's going to make those antioxidants that are going to protect it just right.
Now, you had your antioxidant levels done, and you don't take any vitamins and supplements.
Right.
And you, the girl that took your did your test, what did she say?
She was blown away. She said, you have the highest one of the day. What supplements are you taking? And I said, this is going to disappoint you, but I just try
exercise.
Well, I exercise, and I have a healthy lifestyle in lots of areas. And so my body's making all those antioxidants, and there's an abundance of them. So that I have a huge wellness buffer.
You know, when you think about it, it's pretty much common sense. When you exercise, it works as an antidepressant, and obviously it decreases obesity.
Yep.
But it gets our blood circulating, so it's good for our heart. It's good for our lung capacity. Think about it. Your deep breathing is good for all of our organs. It keeps our blood pressure in check. It makes us strong. It helps us to sleep. It's a great detoxifier. I mean, you sweat
it's
out all those toxins.
It's the best detoxifier there is. You don't have to go through all these juice fasts or just water fasts or whatever it is that kind of fast you want to do. Not that those are bad for most people. They're actually quite good. But the smart person is the one that exercises on a regular basis hard and sweats every day.
But I just want to recommend that if you're not used to doing this and getting your heart rate up like that, check yourself, you know.
Oh,
start
yeah.
out slow and check
your
pulse
sense.
And your respirations. If you're tired, stop. You might want to check with your doctor first before you start just to make sure everything's
okay. Yeah, depending
okay.
on what the status of your health is and how old you are. But I think exercise for everybody is vital. When you get to a place where you're older, it becomes even more vital because it is the strongest and most powerful anti-aging approach we have to healthcare.
And the easiest way to keep it up is to find an exercise that you like. You know,
right.
if it's dancing or tennis or
sure.
skiing or Zumba or swimming, aerobics, jogging,
sure.
biking, whatever it is.
Well, it's been a lifestyle for me for years to play tennis, you know, ever since I was in high school. I love playing tennis, and even I was in medical school. I was playing tennis as much as I could. And, of course, when I got out, it became a career for a while because I really enjoyed the exercise. It keeps your weight down and gets you in shape and you feel good and all those endorphins. It's a great way to go.
Well, stress reduction also is part of living a healthy lifestyle, and it's important to learn how to reduce the stress in our lives and to cope with our problems, not just for our peace of mind and those around us, but because stress contributes to dis-ease.
Right.
And it lowers our immunity. It causes inflammation. It contributes to insomnia and high blood pressure and headaches and so much more. So why is it important to learn how to cope with our stress without taking medications or street drugs or alcohol?
Because they never solve the underlying problem. Never. What they do is they resolve the symptoms that you have. So if you want to get rid of that stress that's causing the inflammation and is causing the problems that come with inflammation and the chronic diseases we have, then you've got to do something about resolving the issues.
So how can we get at the cause?
Well, we have to talk to somebody who's trained in this, maybe a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a marriage and family counselor is one way to go. That's great. And a lot of people can work through that, keeping in mind that we all come from dysfunctional families. And when you come from a dysfunctional family, you've got buttons and challenges that come with you, that stay with you until you resolve them. And not everybody is suited to psychotherapy.
Maybe somatic experiencing would be good.
Now, that's a big word, and most people are not going to know what that is, but you're absolutely right. And what that means is we're getting the body, which holds the memory in our muscles of every experience we've ever had, it holds them in muscle tension patterns. So that if we release those patterns doing gentle massage and reawaken the experience that was held there, because our muscles aren't like our brain. They just vomit up information when it's there because it's there and they just reflexively let it go. When we use our mind, we're hiding all the time from the things we want to cover up the most because they're the things that challenge us. So when you do this kind of somatic experiencing, you get a chance to experience what happened years ago that's held in that muscle tension pattern that will give you insights as to what happened when you didn't have the tools to deal with that problem. But 20 years later or 10 years later or 60 years later, you should have learned something. And you're probably going to have a way to deal with most of the issues that come up in most dysfunctional families during the first 15 years of life.
Well, some of the ways to reduce stress besides exercise that we just talked about might be some stretching and yoga, a little Tai Chi and Qigong. Everybody knows about meditation, but does everybody do it?
Right.
And sometimes prayer is helpful and imagery, you know, if you visualize something that relaxes you. I think that sort of fits with what heart math is. Like if you're upset about something, if you can take yourself in your mind to something someplace else that makes you feel good and happy and so forth. Maybe some music.
Yeah, and these are great tools that we can use to take us out of those stressful places. But we still, no matter how much of that we do, need to dig in and resolve those issues so they're no longer challenging us with symptoms like phobias and challenges that make us feel upset and maybe give us panic attacks. Those things need to be resolved before they'll go away. And a lot of the time, we're looking too much to medications. We like those antidepressants and those sleeping pills and anti-anxiety pills because they resolve the symptoms
for
the time being.
That's why I think this is good to let people know that there are other ways that they can go and that there are other choices, even things like acupuncture. And think about massage or going to the spa or getting Reiki or just getting away like I was talking about with the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about maybe some other things like EMDR,
all techniques,
hypnotherapy
that can do a lot to make you feel better, and sometimes for long periods of time. And it even surprises me sometimes how things like EMDR can be like magic. I used to have a problem with seasonal asthma, and I went one time to this person who did EMDR, and I never had it again after that. And my mind is still blown. But those aren't the emotional challenges.
Well, I had emotional challenges about going to the dentist, and I had to have a lot of dental work done.
Right.
And I did EMDR before I went.
And how'd that work for you?
And also, I took music to listen to. It really did work.
It worked so good for me, Vicki, that I actually meditated during the time using no anesthesia and almost fell asleep in the dental chair. I surprised myself.
But anyway, you know, things that just make you feel good to do. Some people like to garden or cook or have sex.
Yeah, why not? What's wrong with that? Can't get too much of that.
You know, if you're too busy and you can afford it, you know, get some help. Cut back and learn to say no, plan ahead, things like that.
So this
when I say get some help, I mean, you know, if you have a lot of things to do, hire somebody to help you.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of mechanical ways that you can support having less responsibility so it lightens your load.
And be with people that make you feel good, too.
That's true, too. But you can't get away from going back to working through those original challenges that we had that were abusive physically, emotionally, sexually, and spiritually that are important to work through so that you're at peace with them. And when you have the tools that you didn't have as a kid, you'll be surprised at how you can find a place to let go of those buttons, and then the problem disappears. Okay, it's time for a network station break. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. We'll be right back with more Prescriptions for Health radio, and we'll be talking about what lifestyle factor is the most predictive of all-cause mortality, and why does what we weigh cause a biochemical disaster? Stay tuned. Welcome back to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Savuta here with Nurse Vicki. Oh, yeah? Are we boring you, Vicki? Are you sleepy? How much sleep did you get last night?
Well, getting enough sleep is not to be taken lightly.
That's true.
It's critical that we get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. In fact, the experts say under 5 hours of sleep regularly is a lifestyle disorder and can be the most predictive of mortality of all the lifestyle factors.
This was done by the American Cancer Society on 1 million people back in the late 50s, and they included all kinds of things like smoking and being overweight and stress and all the things that are involved with that. And this was what predicted mortality the most.
So what happens to our body when we don't get enough sleep?
Lots of things. It runs us into a state where our hormones are in they're overactive, particularly our stress hormones. They go up and they stimulate problems that lead to hypertension and diabetes and heart attacks and strokes and osteoporosis and obesity. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Well, so when we sleep, you know, we see these ads on TV about a restorative sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to have restorative sleep? Because when we're sleeping, our body is, what is it doing? It's repairing and
it's processing information, and it takes 7 or 8 hours to do that. If we don't get into deep REM sleep, our body doesn't do that very well. And there have been some interesting studies that were done on this. One was done
First of all, though, can you get into a deep REM sleep when you take a sleeping pill?
Not likely. Some of them, there may be a couple that give you some REM sleep, but the bulk of them don't. It's not a natural sleep. And when you have the inability to get into that deep place, that deep theta rhythm of your brain, it doesn't give you the same reparative approach that you, or do you feel better either. There were some studies done on people who lived near an airport, and there was this ongoing low noise through the night, and these people didn't do well.
Probably sleeping with a snoring partner.
Well, maybe something like that. Okay, well, good point. And they did another study where they put young people in a sleep chamber. And when they were sleeping and they monitored the depth of their sleep, as they got into the deeper parts of sleep, they played a sound just that you could barely hear, but enough to keep them from going into REM sleep. And when those people woke up in the morning, they said, "Man, I slept horribly last night." And the ones that were allowed to sleep straight through wondered what the problem was. They felt great. So there's a lot that has to do with the level of where you go during your sleep that makes a big difference.
Well, I think also people that have sleep apnea have a problem like this.
Oh, yeah. They can't get into real deep sleep. And part of the time, their oxygen levels are low. And if they're low enough, they can cause cardiac rhythm disturbances and even induce ventricular fibrillation, which is a horrible thing to have, or a heart attack or a stroke. I mean, it's not a good thing to have.
Well, also, lack of sleep increases inflammation.
For sure. Okay, so what we're looking at is what the Institute of Medicine has looked at and basically said that the conditions I mentioned earlier, hypertension, diabetes, obesity, depression, heart attacks, strokes, cancer, are all related in part to the biochemical changes in hormones that we see in our body. And when we have poor sleep, what happens is our insulin and our leptin hormones don't work right. Insulin, we know, is the hormone that controls blood sugar levels and is important to keep us from getting type 2 diabetes, as well as type 1 diabetes.
It affects our appetite, too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And so when we have insulin resistance, which we have when we're under that kind of stress, it makes us want to eat more. The other thing that happens is leptin resistance develops as well. Now, many of you don't know what leptin is. It's a hormone that's made in our fat cells whose job is to make us feel like we're not hungry anymore. So when our body is taking in lots of calorie or we're eating a meal, leptin is secreted by our fat cells. It goes to the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus, where it tells the brain, you're full. You don't need to eat anymore. But if you have something called leptin resistance, it doesn't work so well. And so it's hard to turn off the appetite center. And that's why a lot of people who don't sleep well wind up overweight.
And on drsaputo.com, we have tips for helping people sleep naturally.
Right.
You know, maintaining a normal weight is also a part of a healthy lifestyle.
Absolutely.
And most people want to be slim, but it isn't easy to do for most of us. And finding a motivation and realizing the importance of a healthy lifestyle helps. And keeping your weight down isn't just about how you look. It's also about how you feel and what overweight does to your health. And one of the main factors, again, keeps coming up, creeping up, is inflammation.
Right. And so when we are overweight, our body takes a position of inflammation. It becomes inflamed. And when it does, we get the same deal we're just talking about. When there's inflammation, we have insulin resistance and leptin resistance. And what, of course, that does is it increases our appetite and weight again. So we have a problem here that's more than just about willpower. It's not just about being weak-minded that leads you to become overweight. There are lots of physical reasons why that happens, and anything that causes inflammation causes insulin resistance and leptin resistance. And then, of course, we have all the things that happen with endocrine causes that are purely physical.
Well, like the thyroid, huh?
Yeah. Hypothyroidism does it. If your adrenal gland is overactive because of stress or any other physical challenge that we have, it puts us in that state. Ovarian causes, like with the polycystic ovaries, can cause a problem with insulin resistance and with leptin resistance.
And then, of course, there are emotional causes of, you know, weight issues, because if people are anxious or depressed, can't sleep, a lot of times they turn to food, or they've got post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
Many people are basically addicted to food.
Yeah, well,
you watch all these TV shows that talk about how people try to, you know, lose weight. So there are a lot of people that have weight issues. And then, of course, there are eating disorders like anorexia and bulimia and binge eating and so
absolutely.
Forth.
When you have somebody who has been abused physically enough, emotionally enough, or sexually enough, they very often will have an eating disorder that goes with it. It's an interesting association that I understand to some extent, but not fully. And I think that when I have a patient...
It has something to do with control, but yet when people eat too much, it seems like lack of control.
Well, it is. It's both ways. You're trying to control your anxiety over what happened to you.
Of course, you know, with anorexia, if it's looking for control, I mean, they're eating and then they're throwing it up.
Yeah, but food is the only thing. Well, in anorexia, I mean, they're mostly just not eating and they're exercising too much. In bulimia, they're throwing up.
Yeah.
And in binge eating, they're often throwing up as well. But see, this is a defense mechanism to help them feel like they're in control, and it gives them some pleasure. Because it's about the only thing that does give them pleasure.
But so throwing up doesn't give you pleasure.
No, but
plus
it's worth it.
Can kill you.
But
too.
See, it's worth it to them to do that, and that's the psychodynamic that you have to work with. So the issue is not to go in there and say you weigh too little, or you weigh too much, or you got to stop throwing up.
That's not what it's about.
No, those are just the symptoms of what's happening. So in my patients who have this problem, I don't do that. I just tell them to go ahead and work out the emotional side first. Let's do that. And then we'll worry about the eating part later.
You know, another thing I think is interesting for people to know about is that there are certain medications that can make you gain weight,
yeah.
like some of the antidepressants and some of the antipsychotics.
Absolutely.
And steroids and anti-seizure medicines.
And then the what beta blockers.
Yeah, yeah, what are some of the beta blockers?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. There's Inderal, the same thing as propranolol. There's Coreg, Coreguard, Lopressor, Atenolol. There's a lot of those that can do that. And it's, and the SSRI antidepressants, the Prozac and Wellbutrin, and there's about 30 others that do that. And the antipsychotics are the worst, and they cause all kinds of problems that lead to having type 2 diabetes as well.
Well, and again, this can cause inflammation, and a lot of it's related to the insulin and the leptin resistance.
Absolutely.
So we need to remember that a healthy lifestyle is more important than our body size, and it's better to be fit and fat than thin and unfit.
Well said. That's so well said. All right. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda here with Nurse Vicki, and it's time for Nurse Vicki's final 2020 tip on facts of life you may not know. And when we come back, we'll be talking about why is it critical to our health to clean up the environment, and why is meaningful purpose in life critical for good health?
I have some facts that you may not know until now. Like, for example, it takes glass 1 million years to decompose, which means it never wears out and can be recycled an infinite amount of times.
Wow.
So use glass.
Right.
And go dig up your gold, because gold's the only metal that doesn't rust, even if it's buried in the ground for thousands of years.
Really? Well, we'll have to get some gold first.
Yeah, get some gold and go dig a hole.
There you go. That's right.
Your tongue is the only muscle in your body that's attached at only one end.
Right. It should be attached sometimes at both ends.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Thank you.
9 out of every 10 living things live in the ocean.
Wow. That's
yeah,
a surprise.
So that really is a big deal that we pollute the ocean.
I'll say.
The tooth is the only part of the human body that cannot heal itself.
Really? Well, a dentist he takes care of that.
Well.
Huh? That's incentive to eat better.
Intelligent people have more zinc and copper in their hair.
Mm.
Now, the swine flu vaccine in 1976 caused more death and illness than the disease it was intended to prevent.
That's right. There were only a couple of deaths from the disease, and there were a whole bunch from the Guillain-Barré
syndrome.
A lot of
it was from the Guillain-Barré, yeah.
Absolutely.
In fact, I took care of somebody with that. Caffeine increases the power of aspirin and other painkillers. I've noticed that also with Tylenol and Excedrin and some of those mm-hmm. pills, and that's why it's found in some of the medications.
The old APC tablet, aspirin, phenacetin, which is Tylenol, and caffeine.
Oh.
That's right.
Huh. Well, when a person dies, hearing is the last sense to go. That's
right.
Something that I've always known and
right.
kept in mind when I've taken care of people, because
right.
even if they can't talk and they seem unconscious or whatever—
yeah.
They might still be able to hear.
Oh, they're so in a mental prison, aren't they?
Yeah, so always talk to them. It's tempting to talk around them
and
like they're not there, but don't do that. And I think I've told the story before, too, about when my dad was dying and he was unconscious and his cousin would call every day and I put the phone to my dad's ear.
Yes.
And then he would move a little bit.
Yeah,
he would
right.
stir, so I knew he could hear.
Right.
Strawberries are the only fruits whose seeds grow on the outside.
Really? I didn't realize that, but I think you're right.
Avocados have the highest calorie of any fruit.
Really?
At 167 calories per 100 grams. How much is 100 grams?
I hope it's not a slice.
I hope it's not. Yeah,
we had some for dinner tonight.
We had a lot of it for dinner. But it fills you up.
Yeah.
And you know what else is that the avocado seed is very healthy. If you can find a way to cut it in half, which I've found the secret, and put it in your Vitamixer with your smoothie or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't believe it, but you sure as heck did, and it didn't hurt the blender at all.
That's why you have to cut it in half. Might otherwise blow a hole in it. Soldiers do not march in step when they go across bridges because they could set up a vibration which could be sufficient to knock the bridge down.
Oh, there's a handy little fact. If you're ever running a patrol of soldiers going across a bridge, keep that in mind, Vicki. Facts
well,
you may not know.
Well, what about cars? Or what about any?
Yeah, well, cars don't go up and down in
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, everything weighs 1% less at the equator.
Really? So should we move there?
Yeah.
That's at least a pound and a half.
I guess so.
We're further away. I don't know how that works, but okay, I believe you.
I don't know, but I don't think I want to bother to take the trip to the equator.
Right.
Okay, so that's enough of that.
Right.
Back to Life is about choices.
Yeah.
And why not make your choices healthy? Now, some unhealthy situations are difficult to avoid, like environmental toxins.
Right.
Now, we live in a sea of toxins, and pollution is in the water we drink, the air we breathe, the food we eat, and many of the products we put on our skin.
Right.
Much
on.
Of our land is polluted, as are our oceans and our waterways.
And our soil. That's right.
Yeah. Well, making a difference does start with us one at a time. So.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you think of the fact that we have at least 100,000 new chemicals that were never on the face of the planet before because they're not found in Mother Nature, that man and all of his creativity has made. Now we're paying the price for not having done the studies that should have been done before any of them were made, because all of them that are not natural have some kind of negative effect. We find that over time.
Well, we all need to pay attention and practice this in our own lives. Even when nobody is looking, you still need to do it.
Well, there's a lot you can do to avoid it.
And one of the things you can do, too, is use your pocketbook and don't buy things that are
definitely. Well, most people don't have the savvy to know that. I would direct them to Vicky's Corner on drsabuda.com, where you have these lists of safe skincare products and household cleaning agents that I think is terrific. Doesn't cost a penny, and if you use those products, you know you're going to be safe.
The other thing is don't drink or eat or store anything in plastic.
Right.
And, you know, recycle. Stay away from hand sanitizers that have triclosan in them.
Right.
Use plain soap and water. Avoid baby wipes and room deodorant and fragrances and fire retardants and microwaves and Teflon and bug spray.
The list goes on.
There are safe alternatives. Don't be overwhelmed by this.
Yeah, well.
We avoid them.
So where are you going to send people to get this information, Vicky?
That's also on our website.
Okay.
And Vicky's Corner.
Okay.
And also, use only soy or beeswax candles, you know, and have real plants in your house for oxygen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a real good idea, is the real plants. And they look wonderful.
Yeah, and remember about indoor pollution, because that can be worse than outdoor pollution.
If you have a new car and you're in your car, there's more pollution in your car than there is at the side of the road. That tells you something.
Well, another thing you might, too, is like when you think about getting new carpets or painting your house and that kind of thing, you need to find a way to air that out. And there are non-toxic house paints. Same thing there are with carpets. And sometimes the worst thing with the carpets are the glue.
Well, the glue. If you can get whole wool, wool, that's the best thing to do. But if you take a new carpet that's got glue and you put rats that are in a cage in one place, put the carpet in front of them,
kills
and then a
them.
Fan that blows on them, in a couple of days, they all die.
And think about your animals and your baby crawling on the floor.
Oh, and yourself. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I would recommend drinking microfiltered water, putting
Definitely.
In a shower filter.
Sure.
You want to get rid of some of the toxins in the water, the fluoride, the chlorine, and other things like that. And then some of the natural cleaning agents like hydrogen peroxide and vinegar and maybe some copper, Genie's Green Max Pro. I have some of these things listed on the site, Amazon Clean and Green and Seventh Generation. And then Beth Greer has an excellent book called Supernatural Home.
Right.
So anyway, make healthy life choices for you and your family and the planet. And you can start by doing that. I'd also suggest taking a break from electrical pollution and electromagnetic fields once in a while.
Absolutely. Well, if you go to the website, put Beth Greer's name in there. There are a lot of interviews you did with her that were wonderful, that talked about kinds of things we're talking
right.
about.
And many people don't think of a meaningful purpose in life as a part of a healthy lifestyle. But remember, being healthy includes body, mind, emotion, and spirit.
Absolutely.
So why bother to even have a healthy body if we don't know what to do with it?
Or what it's for. We don't get a manual, right, that comes with being born that tells us this is what life's all about. In fact, a lot of the time we get very confused by what life is all about.
Well, also, you know, we need a purpose.
Absolutely.
What is life about if we don't have a purpose? Why do we get up? Why do we get off the couch?
Well, look at the kinds of things that we learn. We just watch our government and how it operates. And a lot of it's about economics. It's about materialism. It's not so much about the golden rule. not so much about friendships and relationships, which is where the action is. It's not about trying to give rather than to receive. I mean, we're so much into getting things and being rich and having stuff and nurturing ourselves and not thinking about the poor people in the world that don't have this. I think that's our responsibility, to be working as a whole country, as a whole global country, to try and support one another.
Well, our bodies respond to thoughts and feelings, so it's definitely good for our emotional and physical health to help other people and focus on those.
Well, that's why you became a nurse. It's why I went to medical school and became a doctor. It's why I've changed the way I practice. I'm not so much into the technical stuff, although I know it very well. I'm more into listening to people and caring about them and supporting them in ways that lead back to their old challenges in life that have to do with the dysfunctional families they had and the PTSD that leads to it. Because a lot of the symptoms they have, the ulcers, the headaches, the backaches, so much of the time are related to that kind of thing. And if you don't go back and deal with that, you may temporarily get rid of some of those symptoms, but they're going to come back and bite you.
Well, yeah, our physical health depends on our psycho-spiritual health, and spirituality is an important part of a healthy lifestyle.
Well, you know, I have a little saying that physical disease is the body's way of expressing psycho-spiritual dysfunction. That's a big thing to say for a medical doctor who's trained to use technologies and drugs and surgeries to try and solve the issues we see. Because a lot of the time, we don't solve the underlying problem. I'd say nearly always what we do is we take care of the symptoms. And sometimes when the body heals itself, we get well too. But we need to, as healers, endorse that kind of thinking and support our patients in those ways, or they cannot get well. I have a lot of people that come to me with pain, and I can solve most of their pain using the photon stimulator, the infrared light therapy that we use. It's easy. Most headaches are gone in 5 minutes. TMJ problems in the jaw are gone in 3 or 4 minutes. But you haven't solved the underlying reason why it's like that. Even when somebody has a cold and they come in, sure, you can do a few things to try and minimize their symptoms, but most of it isn't worth much. The big thing to do is find out, why did you get the cold? What's going on in your life? Are you a student in college and you're in finals and you're staying up and not getting any sleep? Keeping in mind that if you have a problem with not getting sleep for about 5 hours or less for one night, that your natural killer cells, those immune cells that protect you against viruses and cancer, go down 30%, and then we wonder why we get sick. That's the important stuff to address,
stress.
Not the week-long illness that they have.
Yes, it's a stress. But, you know, having a purpose does give us energy and drive, unless, you know, your purpose has gotten old and it becomes stressful.
Well, it depends on how seriously you take it. You know, we take life very seriously. But if you've ever been near death, as I have, for myself, I was okay with it. And I was willing to go ahead and die. If that's what the universe wanted, I just look at the voyage, and that's how I looked at it, and said, let's see what happens. But I'm in a place where I've studied healing for 45 years and kind of got the hang, and I know that life is a cycle. And it's okay, because eventually we're all going to go anyway. So knowing,
so while we're here, be engaged in it.
Yeah.
Be present and deal with the positive as a start anyway, you know, seeing the glass half full instead of half empty.
Yeah, okay. And try to do something that's going to be useful for you, to have an image of yourself that you can respect yourself.
Well, being the best that you can be.
Exactly. Not necessarily in the Marines, right? That's what the ad says.
Well, so, if you're at peace within yourself and if you're happy, it's good for your health and it's mm-hmm. good for your well-being.
Well, what gives you that? See, it's not about having a Mercedes or an Aston Martin or a Maserati or a big house or two houses or having a huge bank account or being somebody like Bill Gates. It's not about that. I mean,
it's those
that's
relationships
fine.
You were talking about, and that connection and that helping and giving to other people. And if you believe in God, you know, then life can be about pleasing God.
Yeah, well, pleasing yourself in a way that's healthy is what I'm talking about, but I agree with you. So we have to be thinking about these kinds of things and have a plan. You know, what will I be like in 5 years from now if I'm on the course that I'm on? Or in 20 years or 25 years from now. We should be thinking about things like that.
And can your purpose be effective when you're retired, because I think a lot of people, they retire and then they're bored.
There's nothing.
And there's nothing.
Well, they,
so it's
they
really
do their
good
jobs.
To have something.
Well, that's why life should be about avocation, not about vocation. It's not about your job. It's about what you like.
And it's not just about having things to do. It's things
no.
that are fulfilling to do. This is where organizations sometimes are very
they can,
helpful.
But look at the bulk of America. Not a lot of people not employed now, and people that do have jobs, which are hard to get, are often doing things that they don't like, but they do it. Why? For the to be able to provide for their families, and that's important too. But it's not
and
just
that's a purpose.
Well, that is a purpose. It's not as deep a purpose as living your life in a way that you really feel that it makes a difference in a bigger sort of way. Not to be putting down taking care of your family.
Well,
anyway,
yeah, if it makes you feel good to be taking care of your family.
All right, we're at the end of the show, and I want to remind you that we'll be back to talk about what's new in the news and health the first and third Mondays of every month on PRN.FM and drsaputo.com from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time and 7 to 8 a.m. Pacific Time. Prescriptions for Health will also be available 24/7 on PRN.FM.
And if you enjoyed today's show and you'd like to have more information on the topics we discussed, go to Dr. Saputo Radio on drsaputo.com and check out our Fast Track videos. And remember, a healthy lifestyle is the most powerful healer in the universe. So if you want to be well, pay attention to the style in which you live your life.
Have a great week. We'll see you next time.